Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to share the Word of God today. His Word is truth. His Word is mighty. His Word changes our lives and brings us into understanding. How many are thankful today for the knowledge of the Lord? The Apostle Paul said, many do not have the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord is more precious than gold and silver, nothing to be compared to it. So today, Christ is risen, and we're going to be in with a couple of passages that deal with the resurrection of the Lord. Matthew 28, first of all, and verses 1 to 9. Let's set our hearts into these scriptures and allow the Lord to speak to us. The Holy Spirit is here to minister Rhema word and particular life that you need as an individual. The Lord to speak to you out of the Word of God and out of the preaching this morning to encourage your life and raise you up to serve the Lord. Matthew 28 and verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Luke chapter 23, verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Luke 24 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. The great morning of the resurrection. Point number one today, make your way early to the empty tomb and you will experience unusual encounters with the Lord. There are a number of points I have this morning, three in particular. And this first one may appear like an offshoot from this passage, but maybe the shoot isn't as far off as it seems. Make your way early. Make your way early to the empty tomb, to the risen Christ, and you will experience unusual encounters with the Lord. Mark 16, 1-2, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. The Bible is pointing out the time very early in the morning. On the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They'd prepared the spices and the fragrant oils. They were coming to anoint and embalm the body of Jesus. They waited the Sabbath day because it was a day of no activity, of course, under the Old Testament commandment. And then they couldn't wait. Very early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, they made their way to the tomb. When we make our way early to the empty tomb, we will experience in life unusual encounters with the Lord. These women came early, and because of it, they saw him first. Because they came first, they saw him first. And because they came very early, they saw things that other people did not see. They experienced things with the Lord that other people did not experience. They discovered things about the spiritual realm and what God was doing that other people had not experienced. It's important that we come early. They prepared their spices. I'm speaking on this first point about the blessing of early morning prayer. I'm speaking about the spirit of rising early to seek the Lord, to be in his presence. These women were bringing spices, and as we look at it on a spiritual level in another sense, that these spices speak of worship and prayer. They speak of our holy fragrances, our fragrant oils to the Lord, our devotion, our costly desire toward him. And as they brought these precious spices, they were met by the Lord. They were visited by the Lord. It's important for us to get early to the presence of the Lord. The blessing of early morning prayer, the blessing of rising early on the first day of the week, Sunday, and with joy making our way to the house of the Lord. Such a difference in our spiritual experience. Such a blessing of God. Early morning prayer, in the field of experience, it has no equal. The blessing of early morning prayer, you can pray equally at other times of the day, but there is no substitute for early morning prayer when you set your day with the Lord. You set your day with the Lord. It was Sunday morning, and Mary was up early. The women were up early. Where were the men? They were hiding away. But the women, because they are more spiritually sensitive often, so honoring, so desirous of the Lord, that's how we should be as the bride of Christ. They were up early. Let's get to the place where we last saw the Lord, where his body was laid. The church of the Lord, and I'm so thankful for what God has done in this house to bring forth such a spirit of anticipation and eagerness for his presence. Psalm 65, 1 says, praise is waiting for you in Zion, O Lord. Zion is the place of the corporate gathering, the church, where the people come together in all the individual churches across the earth. Zion is the place of the corporate gathering, and the Bible says praise is waiting for you in Zion. It's prepared. The spices are prepared. The spices are ready. We can't wait till Sunday morning, till we come into the house of the Lord together, and there's an overflowing, an outburst of praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Very early in the morning, they had this anticipation. Psalm 5 and verse 1 says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. My voice you will hear in the morning. Psalm 63, verse 1-2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the house of the Lord. in the sanctuary. Lord, you're my God. Early will I seek you. I can't wait to get back to the sanctuary where the people of God begin to worship and your felt presence comes down and your glory begins to rest on us and your spirit moves and we come alive. We come alive in your presence. Song of Solomon 7. What a beautiful passage. Song of Solomon, come, my beloved. The beloved is Christ. Song of Solomon is the great book in the Bible of the story between Christ and the church, the Lord and his bride, and of the love relationship that is there. It is the greatest song of songs. This is the song of salvation. This book is the song of the redemption of the Lord. And here's the bride in Song of Solomon 7 saying, come, my beloved. Come, Jesus. Come, my Lord. Let us go forth into the field. She's initiating desire to the Lord. Lord, let's go into the field, the place of fruitfulness, the place of fresh life. Let us lodge in the villages, because the villages were situated near the fields and the vineyards. She said, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There I will give thee my loves. How many came this morning to give your loves to the Lord, to pour out your surrender, to pour out your thanksgiving, your desire? There I will give you my loves. The mandrakes give a smell. The mandrakes, also called the love apples. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old. New and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. At our gates, the gates of praise, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. At our gates, O Lord, I have laid up all manner of fruits. They're waiting for you, new and old, which I want to give to you. I've laid them up for you. I prepared them for you, O my beloved. Let's get up early to the vineyards. This is the cry of the bride of Christ to those who are in loving relationship to the Lord. They're eager. The desire is evident. Let's get up early to the house of God. Let's get to the vineyards, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you, let's go up to the vineyards. Let's go up and see if the pomegranates bud, if the vine flourish, if there's new growth, if there's new life, the dew of the morning upon our relationship. How important it is for us to give our desire to the Lord, to let him know how excited we are to be with him, that we can't wait. Lord, let's go up together and walk in fruitful relationship and walk in this great love relationship together. At our gates are laid up all manner of fruits, new and old. Thank God for the old fruit that's on our life. Thank God for the steadfastness of a saint. Thank God for the dependability, the faithfulness, the proven integrity of a man or woman of God. But God wants something beyond that as well. He wants something new, something alive, something fresh that we present in his presence, a life overflowing with present praise and thanksgiving and adoration. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Luke 24:1. Mary Magdalene, very early in the morning, Sunday morning, I'm like Mary Magdalene, I can't wait to get to church. The first day of the week, it's Sunday, very early in the morning, I want to be up, I want to greet the dawn, I want to get to the house of the Lord, because there I'm going to pour out my loves to the Lord. I'm going to see if the vine flourish and the pomegranates bud forth. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, those who know they've been forgiven much, love much. Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils, a young lady possessed of seven devils. Imagine the bondage, the frustration, the torment, the oppression of her life, driven by lusts and desires, whatever they were. And the Lord came and set her free, and cleansed her house and filled her with his presence and with his joy and his salvation. And Mary could never express enough appreciation to the Lord for what he did for her. Mary of Magdala. Mary of Magdala. John's gospel, so beautiful, shows how she came to the garden tomb and she was coming there to anoint his body. And she came and they had observed the tomb and how he was laid. And she came, the stone was rolled away, but she did not see the body. Somebody took him. She didn't understand the resurrection at that point. Somebody took this body of my friend, of Jesus. And she turned around and a gardener was there. And she said, tell me, where have they taken his body so that I can go and take it to where I want to put it, where I will place it? Where have they taken his body? Tell me where they've taken it so that I may take it away. Can you imagine this lovely, fragile, feminine frame? She's going to take the body, the dead weight of the body of Jesus, and carry it. What a desire. What an honor to serve the Lord in her life, doing anything she could to make sure that the Lord was appreciated in her life and that he was honored by every action, every word of her life. Mary Magdalene. You know, in recent months, I've been overwhelmed sometimes at the rescue of the Lord in my own life, the salvation of the Lord in my own life, and how grateful I am to be saved not only from sin, but from self, from how I would have directed my own life or led my life or planned my own life. I am so thankful for the salvation of the Lord, that the Lord rescued me from sin, but he rescued me from making my own way in this world, and he took me and brought me into his will and into his presence and the unfolding of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I was born into a strong Christian family. I've been a Christian all my life, except for 7 days when I wasn't born again. But that's another testimony. But even then, the Lord had me covered, I found out later. Served the Lord from childhood, taught the ways of the Lord, accepted the Lord on my mother's knee. Then came those hopeful teenage years where, what will I do? Where will I go? What will I become? And how the presence and life of God and the direction of the Lord came to me. I couldn't be more thankful today for the salvation and rescue of the Lord. Sometimes you think when you first get saved, my, it couldn't be better than this, my appreciation, my thankfulness. The truth is, you let the years and the decades of your life go by, and you look and you see what the Lord has saved you from in sin, this world, and your own self, and your heart will be filled to overflowing more than you could ever imagine. More than you can ever imagine. You appreciate the salvation. You appreciate the cross. You appreciate the empty tomb more as you grow in God than you did when you first got saved. And you wonder, how could that be? But that's the wonder of our God as he leads us in our lives. Say, well, doesn't Christianity get old? Doesn't it get a little tiresome and weary? No, it becomes more compelling than ever. When you walk with God with all your heart, it becomes more compelling and drawing than ever. Point number one, make your way to the empty tomb and you will experience unusual encounters with the Lord. Number two, make your way early to the empty tomb and know your sins are forgiven. Know your sins are forgiven. Luke 24:1-3, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. If that body had still been there, it would mean that our sins had not been paid for. Make your way early to the empty tomb and know that your sins are forgiven, that your sins are covered and wiped out and washed away. Your sins have been expiated and exterminated by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered up to death because of our sins, and He was raised because we had been justified with God. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, because we had been made right with God. The simplest way to look at this verse is, He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because we had been made right with God. Our sins have been paid for. The empty tomb is the proof that Jesus Christ qualified to die sacrificially for the sins of the whole world, for every person, for every man and every woman. If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, it would have meant that He died the death of any ordinary man. And we would still be in our sins. We would be doomed and damned because our sins had not been paid for. But Jesus Christ, the fact that He had risen from the dead was proof that He had paid that perfect eternal sacrifice for our sins. That He had presented the blood of atonement before the Father in heaven and dealt with the sins of everyone who would confess faith in Jesus Christ and believe on Him. And because of that empty tomb, we are alive and we know that we are right with God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Let's listen in on the Apostle Peter. Sometimes I wondered how those early apostles preached. Well, this morning, if you want to know how Apostle Peter preached, this is his message. Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. Another Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Passover. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Next verse. Men and brethren, Peter said, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. The resurrection of Christ is the proof that he was the Son of God and that he died for the sins of the world. No other religion in this world can claim a founder that has risen from the dead. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus alone. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, said, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They've gone to a Christless eternity. They're in the fires of hell. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, and it doesn't go through to eternity, we are of all men most to be pitied. We're believing a lie. We put our trust in something that isn't true. But Christ is risen, Paul said. Our sins have been forgiven, and we belong to God forever. The empty tomb, the fact of the resurrection of Christ as witnessed by the apostles and recorded in the pages of the Word of God, is the fundamental truth of the resurrection of Christ. He rose for our sins. Beyond that, we have the proof within ourselves of changed lives. People that lived unto self in bondage to powers of darkness, serving the flesh and divers lusts and manners in this world. But something has happened. We've received a miracle. The very life of Christ has come upon us. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Our desires have changed. We no longer want to sin. We no longer want to do unrighteousness. We want to be holy. We want to be pleasing to the living God. What a proof of the salvation of Jesus Christ and of the resurrection of the Lord, that his life is true and his miracle power is effective to this day. And then we have the blessed Holy Spirit. The blessed Holy Spirit. I've asked people who received the Lord in later years of their life, because for those of us who were born again from the womb, covered by the presence of the Lord, we've had the presence of the Lord, that felt presence of God with us our entire life. How comforting, how beautiful, how glorious is that presence of the Lord. That friendship of God. I said to some, what was it like without the Lord? They said, you just don't feel anything like that. But when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. We have the presence of God with us. We feel his presence. We feel his peace. We feel his joy. We feel his power in our lives. We're set free and changed. The Bible says the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to God, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are clean, that we are whole, that we have been freed by the blood of Christ. What a glorious, glorious, glorious salvation we have. Make your way early to the empty tomb and know your sins are forgiven. If you're struggling with temptation and ungodly desires and worldly things in your life, if you've fallen into some sin patterns and you wonder how you can get out of this struggle, because for a Christian to sin, it's grievous, it's tormenting to you. I want to say this morning, get early to the empty tomb. Make a trip early to the empty tomb and know your sins are forgiven, and begin to stand in the fresh life of the Holy Spirit. Begin to stand in the cleansing of the Lord for your life and walk out from that place knowing that you're set free by one thing, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of God has touched you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Number three this morning, don't embalm a memory. He goes before you. Matthew 28:6-8, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you. How many need to hear that word this morning? He is going before you. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, into wherever you're journeying, into whatever region of earth, into whatever city of business, of place you have in this life. He is going before you. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not behind you. He's before you. This morning, he's before you. He goes before you. He's filled with life forevermore. The women came to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the others, and they did not know the great miracle that was awaiting them. They came with spices. They came with fragrant oils. They came to embalm a memory. of something they'd experienced, but now life was over. It would never be as great. They came to embalm golden days, a golden season of their life. But the word to them was, he's not here, he's risen. He's not behind you, he's before you, he's going before you. And they ran quickly, and they went out at the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ is before us. No matter where we are today in our life, Jesus Christ is out ahead of us, and he's calling us to go out because he wants to meet with us in our future. He wants to meet with us in the days ahead. Our greatest days are not behind us. Our greatest days are still before us because the Lord always saves the good wine till now. And next week it'll be now, and the week after it'll be now, and the new year it'll be now. He saves the best wine till now. He's not living in our past. Thank God for what he did, but he's out ahead of us, and we must move with him, and we must anticipate his life. We go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. We go from miracle to miracle. We go from blessing to blessing. We go from testing to testing, so he can take us on from victory to victory, and he can take us on from maturity to maturity. He goes before us. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just, the righteous person, is like the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. My, what the Lord is doing. My, the greatness of the Lord. Don't embalm a memory. Don't look back. Look ahead. Look with anticipation to how the Lord can lead you and what he wants to do in your life and how he still wants to speak to you. Tell my disciples I'm going before them. Tell them to go to Galilee. I've got words for them. I've got direction. I've got prophetic words for their future. I've got an unfolding kingdom to come. Don't embalm a memory. Embrace what God is doing. These women came with their spices and balm and fragrant oils. They were coming to embalm a memory of what something God had done in the past. That miracle ministry, that incarnate Christ among them. They couldn't imagine anything greater. Now he was dead and gone. They were coming to embalm the memory of something that was past. Sentiment that was past, but they found out that he was ahead of them. They found out he had risen. Many people today do the same thing. It's hard for them to embrace the new that God is doing. It's hard for them to embrace the now. They think of the past days when God moved in their life and this and that happened and there were seasons of life in the kingdom or the church. They want to embalm a memory. They can't imagine anything greater than singing the old songs they used to sing. The old sound. The old preachers. The old camp meetings. The old moves of God. The old sentiment. But I want to say on the basis of this passage of Scripture, no matter how glorious the days of the past were, the Bible, the Scriptures warn us not to embalm a memory because Christ is before us. He's walking out ahead of us. This is a witness that we must open our eyes and look to God's future for our life. He's ahead of us. He's moving. Don't embalm a memory. Embrace what God is doing now. Embrace the new sound. Embrace the generation that is now. Embrace the new young preachers and ministers and leaders of the gospel that God is bringing forth in this generation and from generation to generation, because God is always on the move. Hallelujah. God is always on the move. Don't fall back. Don't fall back in memory and pining and nostalgia and sentiment over something that was and how great it was. but lean forward in anticipation and longing of what God is going to do in the church and in the kingdoms of the world and what he's going to do in your life and in your family in the days to come. For the greatest days, by the word of God, are yet to come for all of us, for those who are faithful and those who will serve the Lord with all their heart. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Not as though I had already attained, the Apostle Paul said, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. My soul follows hard after you, O Lord. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing on the upward way? Forgetting those things which are behind, thanking God for everything he's done, but reaching forth unto those things which are before, because I know he goes before me. I know he goes before me. Sometimes we can be tempted to settle down, think of the past, ministries that have touched our lives, how we've been blessed in certain situations. But God says, I don't want you to live there. You don't embalm that. You thank me for it, but you walk on in the power of a new generation. You walk on in the power of what I'm doing now in the house and in the kingdom of God. And you know, I've given this testimony before. To me, these are the greatest days that this church and ministry has ever experienced. When I see the response, when I see people early into the house of God, the response of eagerness before the Lord, the worship that rolls and roars in this house of God, I know that I'm experiencing and I'm part of the greatest days of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't embalm a memory. He goes before you. Don't embalm a memory. Don't sink into the past. He goes before you. He goes before me. It doesn't matter if you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. He's still going before you. He's drawing you on. And the greatest days are yet ahead for every one of us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest days are ahead for our sons and daughters. The greatest days ahead are for our grandchildren as the move of God continues unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Mary heard those words, she ran. He's alive forevermore. He's going before you. Go quickly. Go quickly. Get into the future. Get into the presence of God. Get with what God wants to do in your life and in the church of Jesus Christ. Mary ran. The truth is, as you walk with God, you may even entertain an angel unawares. There are miracles out ahead for all of us. There are words of knowledge and gifts of healings and revelations and doors of opportunity and kingdom advancements for every one of us. He goes before us, and again, you may even meet up with an angel. The angel spoke to them at the tomb. I was reminded of a situation in my own life when Pastor Chad and Mona returned from Kenya and from vacation, visiting the mission field in Kenya, serving the Lord there, and how at the end of their trip overseas, as they were visiting in Germany for a few days, how that Mona met up with an angel. You don't recognize them at first. She's the one who saw the angel. She gave testimony on Tuesday night. It's a beautiful word from God. It had to have been an angel. There's no other explanation. In February of 2011, I think my family and I met up with an angel. There's no other explanation. It was February 2011, 8 years ago, and we had gone to Hawaii for a vacation, Deborah and myself and Pastor Mark and Caitlin, and they had their first child with them, 7-month-old little baby Clive. And we flew from Hawaii, you know, that red-eye flight. when you arrive on the west coast of the U.S. of A. early in the morning. And we flew, our routing was a little prolonged. We flew to Los Angeles first, waited for a time there, flew up to San Francisco and got in there in the mid-afternoon or late afternoon, and then we were to fly San Francisco to Edmonton. And we were anticipating, it was Saturday evening, and I was to preach Sunday morning, and Pastor Mark was leading the worship. And we were looking at the schedule, I think we were to fly out at 6:30, and we'd be home, time change by 9, everything would be great. We'd be in bed on time, refreshed, ready for the morning, and we got to the screens and looked, and the flight had been delayed till 9:30 p.m. at night, coming out of San Francisco. And so we made inquiry, and they said, yes, we have no planes. There was a snowstorm in the eastern U.S. of A. The planes couldn't make it, so it'll be 9:30. So a number of hours to wait, and it was already a long day. And so we looked at this, checked the screens a few times. No, it's 9:30 departure, 9:30 for Edmonton. Great. So we went for supper to the restaurant and then walked around and were browsing. You know, this is 2-3 hours later, looking at shops, and we didn't even hear it except for Deborah. She says, I think they just said Edmonton. I said, no, it couldn't be. And I rushed over to one of the departure screens, and there was Edmonton boarded. We were 2 or 3 minutes from the gate because we were down just taking our time down the airport wing, and I ran to the gate where we were to be at, and I arrived there, and there wasn't a person in sight. And the lights were off. There was no agent. I looked out the window, and there was the plane because we took the plane. You ascended from the ground into the airplane, into the jet, and I looked, and there was a plane. The door was closed up. I thought, this plane is going to pull out of this dock. I saw a customer service counter a little ways away. I rushed over there. I said, hey, can somebody help us? There were other people in lines. Can somebody help us? We're supposed to be on that plane. It's boarded. There's no agent there. Can you find somebody for us? And they said, well, it'll be a few minutes. We're dealing with people, and we'll see if we can get in touch with someone. Just then, Deborah and Mark and Caitlin and little Clive rushed up to the gate, and I said, "I there's nobody here. There's nothing happening. I can't find anybody." And all of a sudden, Deb says, "Oh," she says, "Ron, come over. There's somebody helping me." And there was a maintenance man, and he said, "Aren't you supposed to be?" He said to her, "Aren't you supposed to be on that airplane?" And Deb says, "Yes, we are." He said, "Come with me." He took us out the door of the terminal, down onto the plane, up the plane. They didn't check our passport. They didn't scan our tickets. We slumped down in the seats of that jet. So relieved. And I heard people behind me grumbling, why is it taking so long? When is this plane going to leave the ground? And as I sat back in my seat, now we were a few months from coming into this building, with all the stresses and strains of this building project and many things that had been taken and many anxieties and fears that I was fighting day after day and submitting to God. And I slumped down in that seat and I heard the Lord say, that still small voice, it was there in mere seconds, if I can look after the details of getting you on an airplane in time, I can handle the big things of the building and the church and the future and the ministry. A maintenance man, huh? Walk with God. Walk with God. Don't embalm a memory. He goes before you. Have the worship team come, and I pray that in the days to come, each one of us will experience wonders from the Lord. We'll experience His growth in our lives. We'll experience His liberty. We'll experience His blessing in our families and financially, and doors will open and the kingdom of God will prosper. But let's all always remember, He goes before us, and with eagerness we follow out after Him. How many say this morning, let us get up early to the vineyards? Let us get up early to the vineyards. We're calling on him. Lord, let's get early to the vineyards of fruitfulness and new growth and life. Fruits new and old laid up for you, oh my beloved. Places out ahead that I can show you my loves and my appreciation and gratitude for all you've done. Let's see if the vine flourish. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranate bud forth. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord this morning. Lord, lead us on. Lead us out into your future. You go before us. Take us, Lord. Perhaps there are some this morning that need to deal with reluctance in their heart and sluggishness in heart. Say, I've got to repent of that. I have to get up early to the vineyards. I have to get early to the empty tomb. I need to respond to the Lord. His desire is so great toward us. His desire is so great toward us. Sunday morning, very early in the morning, Mary got up early before the sun even rose. By the time she got to the grave, the sun had risen. But she was up that early. I trust that the fact that we've now come hundreds of times to church in our life, that it does not diminish the excitement and the desire, because his excitement for us is not diminished. His desire for us is not diminished. His resurrection life is flowing. His desire is toward us every time we gather in his presence. And I pray that we would have that same heart toward him. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. His desire is towards me. Ask and receive and make a decision for a new eagerness, for a new readiness to respond to the Lord. Receive cleansing from your sins this morning. Struggle of flesh life. Know that the power of sin has been broken by the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross, and rise up to walk in newness of life. Receive his resurrection power and his joy and his fulfillment. And know he goes before you. Anticipate the days to come. Let's worship the Lord together.